Hello, my name's Simon Kelly. I'm a food safety specialist in traceability. I'm working with the International Atomic Energy Agency in their joint division of the IAEA FAO Nuclear Techniques in Food and Agriculture.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. Could you tell me the history of the science behind food traceability?
It's useful probably to talk more, first of all, about the use of stable isotopes in authenticity in general. It's been used since the early 1970s to detect the addition of adulterants in food, for example, to detect the addition of water to fruit juice. So the isotopes give unequivocal evidence because it's information which is actually stored within the atoms in the food and not just in its chemical composition. So, for example, we can look at oxygen isotopes, the stable isotopes of oxygen, in the water in a fruit juice, and we can tell whether the water has come from naturally occurring oranges, for example, or whether the water has been added from a groundwater source, because the isotopic signature is very different.
Is food fraud decreasing now with these tools in place?
Well, that's a $1 million question, isn't it? It's very difficult to assess the extent of food adulteration because it can be a very broad thing. It might range from someone in a local farmer's market describing a sausage as organically produced when it isn't, all the way through to organised crime syndicates being involved in food adulteration, as was the case in the UK horse meat scandal. So it was a very large-scale operation where there was large quantities of horse meat being included into the beef supply chain. So it's very difficult to assess the scale of the problem. But at the same time, what I can say is that using isotopic methods and making people aware of isotopic methods can act as a disincentive. It's a very powerful technique. And when organized crime syndicates and other people who might be tempted to carry out food adulteration become aware of these methods, it can act as a very powerful disincentive. Also, it obviously requires surveillance to be undertaken to assess the scale of the problem. And so that's very much part of the enforcement structure of governments and enforcement agencies around the world to ensure that they're also aware of these technologies that can detect food adulteration.
How much of the science of using isotope techniques is being used in the industry?
Well, there are a number of methods which are actually standardized methods. For example, the detection of cane sugar in honey. That's a standard method. There are other European norms and international norms. Another established technique is using isotopes to detect the addition of sugar to wine and the addition of water to wine. These are all very established methods. There's an increasing number of examples now where stable isotopes are actually being incorporated into the definition of premium products such as Grana Padano cheese, Parmigiano Reggiano, so that the isotopic and trace element signatures or fingerprints of those materials is actually incorporated into their definitions. And these all act to protect the commodities and make sure that the chances of adulteration going undetected are very small.
What is the difference between standard detection of food fraud in developing country versus developed countries?
It's a really important part of the Food and Environmental Protection Laboratory's role to build capacities and skills in these techniques, because they are certainly, in as far as food origin is concerned, still relatively young techniques. They've only really been used over the past 10 years for food origin determination. And what we're doing is working with member states' laboratories to build capacity, to ensure that they're carrying out good quality analysis, and to provide them with guidance on their research to ensure that they develop robust methods and, of course, that they are accessible and fit for purpose. So that's a really important aspect of what we're doing.
You spoke about the role of the agency in providing this technology and techniques to developing countries. Could you just expand on that?
We're very much in the business of developing the skills, helping developing countries with establishing methodologies, robust methods, so that they can use stable isotopes to build databases that they can use to characterize their own premium products, such as, for example, basmati rice in India and Pakistan.
Could you just tell me, what does the Joint Division do?
So the Joint Division of Nuclear Techniques in Food and Agriculture supports and promotes the safe and appropriate use of nuclear and related technologies by the member states, with the aim to contribute to peace, health, and prosperity throughout the world, especially to global food security and sustainable agricultural development.
So, what does the Food and Environmental Protection section do?
The Food and Environmental Protection section focuses on food irradiation, authenticity and traceability, the analysis and control of chemical contaminants, and radiological emergency response. So the section provides assistance and support to countries in their efforts to ensure that the safety and authenticity of agricultural commodities, and at the same time facilitating international trade. In particular, the Food and Environmental Protection Laboratory in Cyberdorf plays a leading role in the area of analytical techniques and food controls. The laboratory uses nuclear and related techniques to monitor chemical residues in food and the environment, and also technologies such as stable isotope ratio mass spectrometry to trace the geographical origin of food and to authenticate its composition. The emphasis in this area is to build skills and capacity and improve member state laboratories' practices in food safety and quality, and to safeguard health and facilitate international trade. If you like, our raison d'etre is to provide scientists in developing countries with robust, fit-for-purpose and accessible methods to verify the authenticity and origin of food and to detect food fraud. Basically, this ensures that the consumers are protected from fraud and reduces the risk of related food safety incidents, facilitates international trade.
Thank you so much for your time and speaking with me.